They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
From Washington to Detroit,
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. Congress gets back to work this morning, and the most pressing issue is clearly what to do about the auto industry. Today, Senate Democrats plan to attach a bailout to an existing bill on unemployment benefits. A vote could come in a couple days. Last night in his 60 Minutes interview, Barack Obama said in normal circumstances, the carmakers could restructure in bankruptcy. But these aren't normal circumstances.
Banks aren't lending as it is. They're not even lending to businesses that are doing well, much less businesses that are doing poorly. And in that circumstance, the usual options may not be available.
But some Republicans say giving the carmakers money will just postpone the inevitable. And University of Maryland economist Peter Morici says they're right.
At the end of the day, the Detroit Three will have to go through bankruptcy reorganization. It's just a matter of whether it's now or in 2 or 3 years.
The White House opposes using money from the $700 billion rescue package for loans to Detroit. Wall Street will look to rebound after a dismal performance last week. The Dow is at 8497 after a 337-point drop on Friday. The Dow lost 5% last week. The Nasdaq fell almost 8%. In Asia today, stocks closed mixed, and European shares are down about 1% so far. Also today, the Senate holds a hearing on the nomination of Neil Barofsky. He would oversee the $700 billion package. He'd have about 100 people working for him and have his work cut out. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Since the bailout bill was signed into law, the Treasury Department's invested more than $210 billion in banks and insurance companies. It's done all this with almost no oversight. That's created many opportunities for mischief, says Republican Senator Charles Grassley, the ranking member of the Financial Services Committee.
Most of it is corporate executives too stupid to realize that they're caretakers of taxpayers' money.
AIG executives, for example, recently went on a hunting retreat in Europe.
And in a sense, thumbing their nose at the taxpayers.
Grassley says appointing Neil Barofsky to police the program should remind these executives who they're working for. Right now, Barofsky's a prosecutor in New York specializing in securities fraud. Grassley says the painful experience of Iraqi reconstruction taught Congress that it's crucial to get an inspector general's office up and running fast. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The new James Bond movie opened over the weekend. Quantum of Solace took in more than $70 million. Solace, that is. That's $30 million better than the last Bond flick, Casino Royale. This is the second Bond film with Daniel Craig playing the lead. Not everyone took to a blonde Bond, but he's doing something right because this weekend was the best opening weekend ever for a Bond film.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
I filled up my gas tank yesterday, and when the pump stopped, I thought there was a mistake. It was so cheap. The national average is now $2.10, and 16 states have gas under $2. But my friend Alan Sloan says now is the time for a gas tax.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan, what are you thinking? Why should we tack on a tax now?
Because if we're going to get people to buy fuel-efficient or alternate energy cars, you don't do it when gas prices start at $2, run to $4, and by the time, say, General Motors, if any of this happens in Washington, comes out with this magic green vehicle the government's going to offer it to make, it may well be that no one's going to want to buy them again.
Do you really think that people will go back to their gas-guzzling ways, considering what else is going on in this economy?
Yeah, I think they will. And the reason I think that is I remember, I'm so old, Scott, I remember 73, 74 when oil went from, I think, $2 a barrel to like 20 or 30, and everyone said it was the end of the world, and we've learned something from it. And everything reverted as soon as oil prices went down. And it's going to happen here, too. People will absolutely go back to their gas-guzzling ways if the price of gas stays at $2 or goes even lower. Of course they will. And we'll be at the mercy of events all over again. And I don't think that's any way to run a country.
And what happens if oil and gas go back to the levels they were in July, and then the tax is added on top of that?
If you do it now, let's say the average price of gas is $2.20 nationally. It's something like that. Let's say you make it $3.25. People survived more or less at $4. And if there's a problem caused by this, you know, for people who can't pay, you'll give them their gas tax back in some form or other. I'd rather we paid this tax to ourselves than we paid it to Saudi Arabia or Russia or Venezuela.
And how do you think this would benefit, if it would, the American car makers?
Well, if these companies are still alive and we got rid of these what I consider idiotic rules about average fuel economy, where we mandate that the average of mileage of the auto fleet has to be this or that, and then we say SUVs are really trucks, so they're not included. Mm-hmm. If you're running a U.S. car company, you go mad with this. If you say, here's the market, go serve it. That's a lot easier. Let these guys make the cars they think they can sell. And if they're if gasoline prices are high enough, the socially conscious among us will be happy. The consumers will buy this. It's a lot better than being at the mercy of events, which is what our energy policy has consisted of.
It's an interesting topic, Alan. Thanks for your input. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine.
My pleasure.
And I'm guessing you might have an opinion about this one way or the other. Share your thoughts with us online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.